Trouble is just a part of daily life, but Skip Heitzig warns that there's a time coming when it will be much more than just our daily problems causing trouble.
Now, Jesus did say this: in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In that verse, the tribulation he was talking about are the trials and tribulations we have every day. Everybody goes through them. This is different. The tribulation that we go through every day comes from, as its source, the world and the prince of this world, the devil, who just likes to hassle everything and everyone. In the future, the great tribulation doesn't come from the world or from Satan. It comes directly from God on a Christ-rejecting world.
Make the connection.
One look at the headlines reveals that there's a lot of tragedy and suffering in our world today. In fact, that may be one reason why some people don't like to read the book of Revelation. Because no matter how bad things may seem now, a glance through Revelation reveals they're only going to get worse in the future. While it's true that this world has yet to face the extreme devastation of God's judgment, there's also hope for the future as well. And we'll learn more as we continue through the final study in our series, The Bible from 30,000 Feet. But before Skip Heitzig begins, if you'd like to delve deeper into what the Bible reveals about the end of history, this month's resource may be helpful.
9 years ago, headlines around the world reported on a terrorist attack that was beyond imagination.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed.
For many, life has never been the same since that fateful day. Yet as tragic as 9/11 was, it pales in comparison with what the Bible reveals will take place when the end times culminate. This month, The Connection invites you to take a closer look at what the Bible reveals about future world events with a special collection of teachings from speakers such as Skip Heitzig.
Now, Jerusalem, Israel, is at the very center of God's prophetic program. And because of that, it is also in the crosshairs of Satan's attack throughout history and even today.
Tim LaHaye.
The truth is that there are over 1,000 prophecies in the Bible. Over half of them have already been fulfilled.
Lieutenant General retired Jerry Boykin, Joel Rosenberg, and more. This set of 7 CDs from the recent Preach the Word Prophecy Conference is available this month from The Connection for just $35. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org and order your set today. Learn what the Bible says that we'll see in tomorrow's headlines. 7 astounding teachings for just $35 when you call 1-800-922-1888.
Today in The Connection, we continue through the final book of the Bible, the warnings it reveals, the hope that it grants, and the blessings that are promised to all who read and take what it has to say to heart.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles to the book of Revelation, and Skip Heitzig will continue our study of the first 11 chapters.
The earth is going to go through its worst period ever in the future, and it will happen very quickly. It won't be prolonged. It won't be dragged out. For Jesus even said, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now, when these three sets of judgments are finished, seals, trumpets, and bowls, God's wrath is finished. It's over with. And then he just takes over. So chapter 6 tells us the opening of the 7 seals. Okay, now, I need your mind just for a minute. I'm going to give you chapters 6 through 18, 19 very quickly. Chapter 6 begins the first set of judgments called the seals. Chapter 7 is a parenthesis where additional information is given. Then chapter 8 and 9 continues the chronology, the trumpet judgments. But chapters 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15 is a parenthesis where additional information and details are given to that time period. Then chapter 16 resumes the chronology of the tribulation judgments, where we have the bowls being poured out. But chapters 17 and 18 are a parenthesis. Then chapter 19 will end the chronological order of the book of Revelation in terms of the tribulation. It's over. It is pretty easy to follow it chronologically. You just have to know that you have six seals and then a parenthesis for additional information and then a seventh seal. The seventh seal ushers in seven more judgments called trumpet judgments. You have six of those, and then there's a parenthesis with additional information. The seventh trumpet ushers in the last seven judgments called bowl judgments. That's how it works. That's how the rest of the book is laid out. So chapter 6, verse 1. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat to take peace from the earth, that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures say, "A measure of wheat," or a quart of wheat, "for a penny," a day's wage, a denarius. "And 3 quarts of barley for a day's wage." You think the inflation is bad now. "And do not harm the oil and the wine." He opened up the fourth seal, and I heard a voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." And so I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. This is the tribulation period. There is not a time like it in the world. It will be the worst period of time in human history. Now, Jesus did say this: in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In that verse, the tribulation he was talking about are the trials and tribulations we have every day. Everybody goes through them. This is different. The tribulation that we go through every day comes from, as its source, the world and the prince of this world, the devil, who just likes to hassle everything and everyone. In the future, the great tribulation doesn't come from the world or from Satan. It comes directly from God on a Christ-rejecting world. It's the worst time in history. Worse than the Dark Ages. Worse than the Holocaust and World War II. Worse than the Great Depression. A whole lot worse than this present recession we're going through. In fact, did you know that more space in Scripture is devoted to the tribulation period than even the second coming of Jesus Christ? All throughout Scripture. Jeremiah 30, "For that day is great, the day of the Lord, so that there is none like it. It is a time of Jacob's trouble." Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, "There will be a great time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation, even to that time." Matthew 24, verse 21, our Lord Jesus said, "And there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world, until this time, no, nor ever shall be." Now, just in case you're thinking, well, I mean, how bad could it be? I mean, we've seen a lot of bad times. How bad could it be? Really bad. There's smoke, there's fire, there's hailstones that weigh about 125 pounds careening from heaven to the earth. There's the abyss, the bottomless pit that is open and belches out demons all over the world that bring torment for months upon the inhabitants of the earth. Green things are destroyed. Fresh water is destroyed. A fourth of mankind is wiped out. Another third of mankind is wiped out. Really, really bad. Chapter 7 is a parenthesis. Remember I said chapter 6 is the first set of judgments. Chapter 7 is a parenthesis between the sixth and the seventh seal. And chapter 7 answers a question that is posed in chapter 6. Look at verse 17 of chapter 6. For great is the day of his wrath, or for the great day of his wrath has come. Here's the question. And who is able to stand? Now chapter 7 answers the question. There's two groups that are able to stand. There's 144,000, and there's an innumerable multitude of Gentiles from all over the earth. Verse 1, after these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth or the sea or any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000. Now, please notice the rest of the sentence. Of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. And chapter or verses 5 through 8 will list the tribes by name that are sealed. I've been fascinated throughout the years to see how many groups want to identify themselves as being part of the 144,000. Herbert W. Armstrong at one time, a false cult at one time, they have since reformed, claimed to be the 144,000. Seventh-day Adventists have claimed to be the 144,000. The Jehovah Witnesses at one time said they were the 144,000. This is before there were 144,000 Jehovah Witnesses. And then once they had that number reached and there were more, they had to recalculate a whole new theology. But anytime somebody says, I'm part of the 144,000, my question to them is very simple. Which tribe are you from? And they typically go, huh? And I take them to this verse. Here's the tribes that are listed. Which tribe of Israel do you belong to? It tells us who they are. These are Jews, not JWs. They're Jews. They're Jewish. They're messianic Jewish people who are protected by God during the tribulation period miraculously as judgments fall upon the earth. 144,000 Jewish people who believe Jesus is their Messiah. How do they get saved? I believe by a couple people we'll be introduced to in chapter 11 called the two witnesses. The two witnesses seem to evangelize and do signs and wonders and convince 144,000 Jewish people to be Messianic Jews. And the Messianic Jews, 144,000, they witness to people in the tribulation period. And there's an innumerable multitude of Gentiles that are saved. I think the greatest evangelism in history will take place in the Great Tribulation period. It'll be horrible. It'll be hell on earth. But there will be people saved. A lot of them. Now, I say that for two reasons. One is a theological reason, and one is a logical reason. The theological reason is the reason Jesus Christ gave in Matthew 24, verse 14. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. It doesn't mean we're going to evangelize the earth, us, and then the Lord will come at the rapture. It means in the tribulation period, there's going to be an everlasting angel that flies through heaven. There's going to be two witnesses that do signs and wonders. And that's going to bring 144,000 Jewish converts in. And I don't know if you've ever seen a Jewish believer, but they're pretty persuasive. They're pretty on fire and pretty zealous. Imagine 144,000 of them babies around the earth. It makes sense. An innumerable multitude would come, and they do. And the logical reason is because these are the two groups mentioned in this chapter. They're associated together. Notice verse 9. After these things, I looked and behold a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Chapter 8, the seventh seal is broken, and that ushers in the next phase of judgment, which are the seven trumpet judgments. Trumpets were used to announce things, and they announced judgment. The first four announced natural judgment. Natural judgment. There's judgment upon the land. There's judgment upon the ocean. There's judgment upon the freshwater sources. There's judgment upon the luminaries, the heavenly bodies. The next three trumpets announce supernatural judgment, because in chapter 9, demons are let out of the abyss and they fill the earth and they torment men for 5 months on the earth with some kind of pain, some kind of inflammation that is so bad that people want to die, but the Bible says death will take a vacation. Death will not happen for 5 months. People won't be able to die, but there'll be tremendous suffering during that period of time. Well, by now, we're well into the tribulation period. And can I just say very quickly, before we bring this to a close in chapter 11, there is no need to spiritualize this. I take it literally. I know there are signs and symbols, but I take it as literal events that are tied to these signs and symbols. I think you do yourself damage, and I'll explain why, if you try to spiritualize everything. Because once 144,000 doesn't mean 144,000. Once Jews don't mean Jews. Once seven doesn't mean seven. Then what does it mean? And here's the answer. No one knows. Once you depart from the literal interpretation of it, you just make stuff up. And that's what the amillennialist has done. And I don't have time to get into it. I will distract from where we're at. Okay, chapter 10 and 11 is the parenthesis. Remember? The interlude. So there's six seals, an interlude. The seventh issues in seven more judgments. Six come. There's an interlude, which is chapter 10 and 11 before the seventh trumpet. And then chapter 11, verse 15, the seventh trumpet begins. Look at chapter 11, verse 3. I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy. Notice how literal this is. 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. That happens to be 42 months, or it happens to be 3.5 years if you go by the prophetic calendar of 360 days a year. Verse 4, these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have the power to shut heaven so that rain doesn't fall in the days of their prophecy. They have power over the waters to turn them to blood, to strike the earth with all plagues so often as they desire. The question is, who are these guys? To help us understand who they are, it says in verse 4, these are the two olive trees. You say, I'm not helped by that. Well, if you remember the book of Zechariah, remember these are symbols that have their roots in the Old Testament, it'll ring a bell. Chapter 4 of Zechariah, Zechariah has a vision, remember? He sees in his vision a lampstand, the menorah, the golden lampstand. Above it is a golden receptacle, a bowl with pipes that go into the seven lamps. On either side of this lampstand or menorah are two olive trees, and the olive oil goes directly from the olive trees into the golden receptacle and flows into the lampstand, into the menorah. It's an automated menorah. And then the angel says, Zechariah, what does that mean? He goes, I don't know. And he says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So Zerubbabel, the governor, and Joshua, the priest, were the two witnesses at that time in Jewish history. God was saying, I know it's hard to be back in the land. I know it's tough to rebuild the temple and the nation, but I am going to keep this thing going. I'm going to use these two to finish the task. So like those two who in the Old Testament were used by the Spirit powerfully to finish the task and be a witness to the nation, these two will in the future tribulation through the hardship be infused by the Spirit of God and be God's witness to the Jewish nation, out of which the 144,000 believers will come. Who are these two witnesses? I'm going to guess. I don't know, but I'm going to guess that one is Moses and one is Elijah. What better two witnesses could there be for the Jewish nation than to have Moses and Elijah? Why do I say that? Number one, because of their past. Notice the miracles that these two witnesses do. They sound very similar to what Moses did and Elijah did. Didn't Moses turn the Nile River to blood? Isn't that what they do here? Didn't Elijah call down fire from heaven on the 2 Kings chapter 1 on the men who tried to arrest him? So because of the past, number two, because of prophecy. Because of prophecy. Concerning Elijah, Malachi chapter 4, the prophet said, I will send you Elijah before that great and terrible or awesome day of the Lord. That's why every Passover, the door is open and a chair is kept for Elijah, because of the prophecy. Number three, I believe it's Moses and Elijah because of precedence. They did it before. On the Mount of Transfiguration, who are the two that appeared with Jesus? Moses and Elijah. What were they doing? Talking about the future kingdom. They were seen in a glorious state in the future. And finally, I believe it because of the way they passed from this world. Both had very unusual life endings. Elijah didn't die. He didn't die. He was taken up into heaven in a whirlwind. And Moses, when he died, there was this unusual argument over his body, right? Jude chapter 9. Michael the archangel disputing with Satan over the body of Moses. Who cares about a body unless God has future plans for it? So my guess, it's Moses and Elijah. You might have your own guess, whatever. We don't know. So you can come to me afterwards. I know who it is, or I think. We don't know. We can only guess. Verse 14, and we'll close. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. And beginning in verse 15 comes the seventh trumpet that will now usher in the last part of the tribulation period, the seven bowl judgments. We are into the final months of the tribulation, and we'll cover that next week, into the second coming of Christ, and then the new heaven and the new earth, etc.
Well, I know that's a lot to digest in just a little over 20 minutes, but that's why we encourage you to pick up copies of these daily teachings. We cover so much in such a short amount of time that it's helpful to review the material again. And I'll let you know how to get a copy of today's teaching in just a moment. But first, if your interest in ministry extends beyond just support to being an active part of it, you may want to consider the School of Ministry. What's that? Well, I'll let Skip answer that question.
This is Skip Heitzig, and I want to let you know that the Calvary of Albuquerque School of Ministry is back in action for the 2010 school year. If you'd like preparation for ministry, or if you want to take time to get direction for Christian service, our SOM could be just for you. Applications are open to men and women at any age or stage of life. Here's where to get more information about the Calvary of Albuquerque School of Ministry.
Well, thanks, Skip, and I'd just like to remind people that the registration deadline is August 6th, so get signed up today at 1-800-922-1888, or when you visit connectionradio.org. And as I mentioned, you may want to pick up a copy of today's study to review everything we've covered so far in the Book of Revelation. You can get one when you call 1-800-922-1888. 1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Each copy is just $6. That includes shipping and handling. Or if you'd like more resources from our series, The Bible from 30,000 Feet, just visit BibleFrom30K.org. And one final item before we leave, your support is such a key part of what we do here at The Connection. So if you can share just a little extra when you get in touch with us, know that that would be a big help. Give us a call at 1-800-922-1888 or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Move on through the book of Revelation, so join us as our series, The Bible from 30,000 Feet, prepares for a landing here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.